You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com and one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. And the other co-host joining me on the other line right now, the man of too many titles, Tony East. Tony, what do you think of the first game of the NBA Finals?
I'm really glad that it was very entertaining and exciting down to the wire. And I think that LeBron James is very good at basketball.
But how, were you, that's not the happiest right word, but were you expecting George Hill to miss that free throw?
Everybody who watches the Pacers knew he was going to miss one of those free throws.
No, and you could see it on his face too. He was like, I'm surprised the first one went in, to be honest.
That was his first finals game, and he's on the line for the game-winning free throw at the last second. Like, that's got to be the craziest moment of your life.
And he got so lucky that J.R. Smith just completely
bailed him out. I know, from any blame. And like, you know what's funny is I've seen a lot of people like J.R. Smith bailed out George Hill. George Hill deserves just as much blame. I'm like, no, he doesn't. Like, people miss free throws all the time. People don't dribble away from the basket for 5 seconds in a tie game all the time.
Yeah, plus I think they lost the game, or they just went to overtime and the missed free throw and then a rebound by the Warriors in overtime. It's less demoralizing. It's less like, LeBron's not feeling like I had this one. It's like almost like, okay, it's whatever. It happens kind of thing. Yeah. And maybe they actually play better in overtime.
Right. Also, we should point out, we're sorry if you're listening to this and game two was awesome, because we're recording before game two.
Yeah, that's right. Sunday, 12:15. We're trying to get back on our Monday, Wednesday, Friday recordings, hopefully for the month of June. Then July, we'll see if we fade off to once a week.
Yeah, wow. I mean, we're talking about the finals off the start because the Pacers haven't done much for a while. Adam, are you in Florida right now?
I am in Florida. I'm sitting outside of my little, it's called my little sunroom in my new little apartment for the summer. It's pretty nice.
Adam Friedman, Naples, Florida, living. So jealous.
Yeah, I'm probably going to – I'll post something on Twitter tonight once, or tomorrow once I start. I start tomorrow at the Naples Daily News as a reporter. Internship for reporting.
Intern reporting. There we go. Wow. Look at that. We are covering all aspects of the world on Locked On Pacers.
Yeah, but I will still be on Indy Cornrows now, writing 3 times a week because the editor, Tom Lewis, and I came to some agreement. So I'm going to write 3, probably Monday, Wednesday, Friday for the foreseeable future. The Pacers. We'll see about July. I have to do it as much, but I'll try to put about 3 posts a week from here until hopefully, forever.
More Adam Friedman. What else can you want?
Yeah, you're gonna get a lot more content. So shifting back to the NBA Finals, another big call, and it was the charge call with a minute left?
36 seconds.
36 seconds left. Okay, I was remembering the exact time.
I wrote about the play so much that I've got it down to a T.
Was it 36.4 seconds? Is that right?
36.4, that is right.
Okay, now I'm remembering it. Remembering the timestamp on the game. So there was a charge call where LeBron was probably moving, so it probably should have been called.
Yes.
Defensive foul. It was. You watch replay slow enough. He sort of shifts his body the last second to get in front of Durant. Kind of turns his shoulders. It's probably a defensive foul. It was originally called an offensive foul, and it basically swung the game. If not for the free throw, the JR. That's what people will be talking about right now, because that was really a big moment. If that becomes an offensive foul on Durant, like it was originally called, Cleveland wins the game. But how that relates to the Pacers is the same thing happened to them as if they were in the Golden State situation earlier this year in December against Oklahoma City. Tony was at that game. But basically what happened was Thad Young got called for originally a offensive foul. I was watching on TV, went to timeout, went to commercial break, came back, and all of a sudden he was shooting free throws. And that's when I kind of learned about the rule of, they can overturn a charge with the replay. I thought they could review whether it was in the circle or not, but they can overturn the whole play and sort of can really swing a whole game. That game, it unfortunately didn't help the Pacers that much. They went 1 of 2 at the line and they ended up still losing.
Yeah, that was the controversy. Because to me, it was very obvious LeBron was the fouler, right? Like, it was a defensive foul.
Yeah, he had his shoulders not square. He was right. Angled at Durant.
That's wasn't legal guarding position, was still moving kind of upward even. Like, it was a foul. So you can't be no one on either fandom side is mad that they got the call right. It's that they thought it was a stupid review because you can't review restricted area charges. And he was clearly out of the restricted area. So,
but you can you?
But it's the last 2 minutes. You can. Yeah, that's how it is. And they were like, there's no precedent for that. But then, of course, there is precedent because it happened to the Pacers this year in a 2-point game
on ABC or ESPN.
That's what I said. My draw was like in the Pacers version of the finals, their PG returns game, of course, is when it happens. Yeah.
I don't remember. Did the Mike Breen, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson crew do that game? Do you remember?
I think so. Yeah, they did.
So
they
then
did.
They should have at least seen it before.
Yeah. And that one was weirder because I thought that the LeBron defensive foul was way more obvious than Josh Eustis, because Josh Eustis was pretty close to legal guarding position. Like, his arms were straight up. But
yeah, I just remember that play being weird because they didn't really say anything. All of a sudden, it was offensive foul. I'm like, oh, they're going to lose this game. Then it came out of the timeout and Thad was shooting free throws.
It was so bang-bang because Thad did one of those things that he always does where he kind of swings the ball above his head right when he's coming at the back.
His shoulder a little bit.
Yeah. So it's how he shoots. So like, if you just saw it in live action, you'd be like, oh, that's a charge for sure. But he's like shooting and Josh Eustis is still sliding. And the keyest difference probably is that Kevin Durant made both free throws and Thad only made one, but the call was like to a T exactly the same.
And a very similar, I think the Pacers were down two as well.
We were 94-96. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was the same, almost like dead ringer for the same
only
situation.
4 seconds difference on the clock too. Like literally the same situation.
I mean, it's just, so then there is precedent. That's why it's important
to
talk about it and relate to the Pacers, because there is precedent for Pacer fans, and like I thought of the minute I saw that play, I thought of the Thad Young play. Like,
me too.
Which is crazy because they were, I mean, on Twitter, it's like nobody was bringing it up. Everybody's talking about how, oh, it's not the same, or there was no, like you say, there's no precedent, whatever it was. But I was like, yes, there is. I've seen this happen before in a game, like less than 5-6 months ago.
Yeah. And then people were breaking out the rule, like Royce Young from ESPN, who covers the Thunder, like breaks out the rule book and is like, oh, they got it wrong. I'm like, dude, you were at a game where they, where they did this before. Like, what are you talking about?
So do you think the Cavs come out and win game two, or you think this is the series? This was the series. You don't win game one, so demoralized, that's it.
I was going to say, we're going to look like revisionists here because people have already watched the game. If Klay Thompson plays, I think the Warriors are going to kill him, because that's such a demoralizing loss. Like, you saw him in overtime. They lost by 10 points in 5 minutes. Like, you get demoralized when crap like that happens. And I mean, now it's going to be just something that looms over them, no matter how good LeBron is. You know, they know that.
But there's not the off chance JR goes 10 of 12 from three and they win the game.
Oh, that chance exists every game. Pacers fans know better than anybody. But I mean, he's. I would think.
Yeah, he's going to feel. He feels bad about it, right? I mean, he gave a really funny quote where he was like, there's a lot of pressure, but I don't feel pressure playing with LeBron. But sometimes I tell LeBron, he's like, he's the honor of playing with me too. And so like, JR, if anybody is able to recover from it, it'd be JR.
It would be JR. I do love the memes of LeBron making the face and like pointing at the basket. They're really funny.
Yeah, that was I mean, the thing is JR just passed that ball to LeBron. Like, even if they don't make the shot to win the game, it's just the fact that the way they blew it. It's like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I was saying earlier, if he passed that ball to LeBron and LeBron misses the shot, it's just not as demoralizing. It's kind of like, okay, overtime, let's go.
Can I say it's really ironic to see Cavs fans complaining about what they feel is unfair officiating when every single game against the Cavs, people were complaining about what felt like unfair officiating in the favor of the Cavs?
Yeah, this was the first game I remember in a while where LeBron looked visibly frustrated at the refs for not giving him calls. I mean, yeah. He always gets calls. It's the NBA star stream where he gets the favorable calls. I mean, it's right. What it is, but is like the first, like there was a strip play where he clearly stripped the ball from Durant, got called for a foul. He just wasn't getting all his calls, and it was interesting to finally see it on the other side. I don't know if that was
for me, again, no indictment to the refs, because I thought they did a pretty good job, but it's kind of funny and almost sweet to see Cavs fans on the other side of that, the whining.
Yeah, well, it's karma. It's what happens.
Karma.
It's karma, and they deserve it. And yeah, that's what I mean. The end of the day, if they lose this series in four, they'll blame it on game one. Even if they win game two and they somehow lose in six, they'll still blame game one no matter what on the refs. They'll find a way, whatever. But I'm just, at the end of the day, also JR just did a lot of building out for a lot of different people in the way they played. Yes.
Okay, and also Jordan Clarkson stinks, and that is the end of my analysis of game one.
Yeah. Well, speaking of a pick, I think Jordan Clarkson went undrafted, but a late round pick,
wasn't he?
Was Jordan Clarkson a late round pick? I thought he was undrafted. I don't can look it up.
Yeah, this is a good Google search, except my Google is not working for some reason. I'm typing and nothing is showing up.
Well, speaking of a guy who went late in the second round or maybe undrafted in Jordan Clarkson, Clarkson went. Oh, God, I'm pulling it up.
I swear he got drafted.
He went undrafted?
I swear. I could be wrong, though.
You have no idea, do you?
No, I swear he was like a late round pick.
Well, speaking of a late round pick in Jordan Clarkson, right? Speaking of a fellow second round pick, Clarkson went 46th and the Indiana Pacers owned.
There it is. I knew he By the way, that's why I knew that.
And the Pacers owned the 50th overall pick in this year's NBA draft to go with the 23rd overall pick. And so, Tony, you wanted to talk about this pick. So what was the first thing you want to go on? I don't know. You were you're the king of D League or G League now and bench guys and late round picks and all that stuff. So give your you have a rant about it. Let's hear it.
Okay, let's start with this. Do you remember the 2016 NBA draft when there was a bunch of excitement and then they traded Caris LeVert for Thad Young and then drafted the 50th pick? Their only draft pick was Georges Niang.
I do remember that. That actually was a pretty good trade, I thought.
It was a good trade. But people were stoked on Niang because he was the only pick that had that draft. And Georges Niang was not good.
Yeah, didn't he get hurt too in his second season?
Got hurt into the summer league and stuff, and then he got like two-way with the Warriors and then got cut before the season even started, and then he stunk for the Jazz. Like, he's not very good.
It's actually crazy. So my freshman year roommate's brother apparently played basketball with Niang in either AAU or high school, and he was telling me about Niang, how he was going to be good, but I didn't believe him because second round picks, who knows?
Niang is 13 for 47 shooting on his career. That's 27.7%.
So where is he now? Is he even in the
– He played on a two-way for the Jazz to close the season. So he played nine total games this season.
So he'll probably be in Europe or China next year.
Yes. His true shooting – tell me what you think his career true shooting percentage is.
True shooting? Somewhere between 20 and 30.
Yeah, it's 30.8. That's so bad. That's
okay,
so
close. A second round pick. I mean,
yes. Okay. Sorry. So all of this to say that is the type of value you can expect with the 50th pick in the draft.
So do you know who the most successful Pacers second round pick was?
The most successful ever?
And well, in recent history, let's put it that way.
Should I? Joe Young?
Nope.
Is this obvious? Am I being an idiot?
No, you're not being an idiot, but I know it. I can read you the second round picks. Most, yeah, one of the most recent successful ones, second round picks.
Not on the team anymore.
Nope, currently on the team right now.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Nope. No, he's picked by the Pacers in the second round.
What?
It's your boy, Lance Stephenson.
Oh, my gosh. He left the team. I didn't even think about that.
Lance went 2010, 40th overall pick. He was a really risky pick, but he also was one of those high upside players if he turned out to not be a complete doofus. And exactly what happened to Lance when he finally got his shit together. He became a pretty good player. Decent player.
That's fair. Bojan was a second round pick, first pick of the second round by the Miami Heat in 2000.
But he was probably a second rounder because people weren't sure he was going to come over to America.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. But still,
yeah. I mean, like if he had said, I'm coming over and where I ever get drafted, he would have been here. He would probably have been a late first round pick.
Corey Joseph was almost a second round pick, one pick away.
Like I'm thinking recent Pacers history, second round picks.
Okay, well, let's go through some of them. Rakeem Christmas, Joe Young.
Well, Rakeem wasn't drafted by the Pacers. Rakeem was drafted by the Cavs.
Oh, they traded a second for him the day he got drafted, though.
Yeah, but then there's EK from last year.
Edmund Sumner last year.
That guy in France who's still there, right?
Uh-huh. Very good. I forgot about that. Okay, so let me run through. Okay, also, speaking of the 50th pick, a recent Pacers player was drafted 50th in 2011. Do you know who it is?
One on the roster right now?
He's no longer on the team. He's no longer in the NBA, actually. But he was pretty good for the Pacers.
I don't know. Give me the name.
LaVoy Allen was drafted 50th. Okay.
Where does he play now?
He is overseas.
But what we're really getting at is there's just not a lot of value in the second round.
Let's put it here are all the 50th picks since 2010. Solomon Alabi, never played an NBA game. LaVoy Allen, pretty good. Gonna butcher this name. Izet Turkilimaz, never played an NBA game. James Ennis, my boy. actually pretty good. Alec Brown, never played an NBA game. Marcus Erickson, never played an NBA game. Georges Niang, out of the NBA. Matthias Lesort, never played an NBA game. So don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at it now. In the history of the Pacers, the best second round picks are by Lance and AJ Price.
AJ Price, yeah, I was gonna say, didn't AJ Price get picked in the second round?
But Lance is probably the best second-round pick in the history of the team, to be honest.
Probably. Now I'm looking through this. You got me thinking.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of value there. And so, what is Dan Bailey went second-round pick to the Pacers? And
Antonio Davis was second-round pick. He was good.
Oh, yes, he was. I'm thinking Dan Bailey from the old Indiana guy.
Dan Bailey, yeah.
From Indianapolis.
A legend.
Yeah. Antonio Davis, yeah, that's probably the best one.
Antonio Davis is probably the answer, yeah.
That's probably the right answer. Harrington went a first round, yeah. So, yeah, that's probably the answer. You're probably right.
Both of them. It's hard. It's really hard. And, like, you hear these stories about Isaiah Thomas and all these guys, and it's because it's so rare is why it's a big deal, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Isaiah Thomas might be the best second-round pick in the recent history, right? In the last five. What's Isaiah's year? He's in the sixth or seventh year now?
Yeah, 2011, 2010.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Something like that.
So in the last, let's say in the last 10 years, he might be the best second round pick to come out of that. Or have the best single season. Draymond.
Yeah.
But then, Isaiah Thomas had a great one season. I mean, that one season he had a great few years, but that one year in Boston was fantastic.
Like a year. He's absolutely incredible. It's very hard. And I think people are like Sumner went 52nd and people are really hyped up about this dude. And like, I love Sumner, but he's not going to be great. Like, to be very careful with these second round picks.
Yeah, and that's honestly why they're so useless sometimes when you think about it.
Yes.
Like, why would you want 2 second round picks when the odds are even at 20 something, you have a better chance of getting a much better player than at 250 picks. Like, it's
you want to know who the best player ever picked at pick 50 was?
Sure.
Steve Kerr.
Okay. Not a bad.
That's cool.
I'm trying to think of the best second round pick in NBA history right now. Currently.
I mean, I got nothing there. That's like a Google question.
Yeah, I don't know enough to know who the best second round pick is. You have anybody you think that might take it at 50 though, or no?
Oh my gosh, I have no Grayson Allen if he's still there. Gosh.
So the 50th overall guy on one of the SI things, I just looked it up, is Tony Carr, the Penn State point guard who destroyed Ohio State a bunch this year.
Yeah, I do remember him. DeAndre Jordan was a second round pick. I forgot about that.
Yes, he was.
Dennis Rodman. More good ones.
Oh, and then
An NBA.com thing about the best second round picks. Gilbert Arenas was a second round pick. Did not know that. That's cool.
Yeah,
Draymond coming in at number 4. Draymond Green. Oh, Manu Ginobili was a second round pick.
Yeah, but he was one of the guys too. Also in Europe, nobody thought he would come over.
Marc Gasol is a second round pick. Yeah, a lot of Europe guys. You're right. Maybe they'll draft a Europe guy. That'd be cool.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what they do.
Then we can all be pretend excited about him for a few
years. You know who might be there in the 50s if he stays in the draft? The guy we thought could be the first round pick as point guard before the season started, Trayvon Duval.
Oh, well, let's go. That would be hilarious.
Duval could be sitting. I mean, I thought Duval would go back to school, but maybe not.
Oh, man. What's Tankathon have at 50? They're actually pretty good at the mock stuff.
Let's see. Tankathon. I was on the SI one.
Yeah, no, SI is good too.
That's a good job, yeah.
23. 50 right now, they have Justin Jackson from Maryland. I like that guy.
Not bad,
Duval at 49.
Yeah, so it's right there. Fall.
Yeah. At 23, they have Aaron Holiday. Aaron Holiday's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I think he might be the pick of 23, to be honest.
All right, Adam. Let's let's do your fun thing for the week.
All right, so our fun thing for the week to finish off this show is worst or most frustrating moments from the Pacers season.
Oh, you didn't say it like that before the show.
What did I say it?
You said the thing that pissed you off the most this season.
Oh, that's right. I forgot I said. But redo, the thing that pissed you off the most about the Pacers season this year. It could be about the Pacers, about a team they play, the way they played, whatever. Tony, you can go first.
I think I know your answer.
Probably not. I don't even know my answer.
Your answer is it the Bojan lob pass?
Oh, I was
That's in the top 5, probably.
Yeah. So we didn't really try to make a list. So just what's the thing that pissed you off the most?
Mine is garbage time minutes, and we've ranted about this on a bajillion different things. Like, they gave Alex Poitras this full contract, and then with 2 minutes to go and they're up 20, they still have 2 starters and 3 bench guys in there. I'm like, what the heck are you doing, McMillan? Like, all the time. It drove me crazy. I can't believe more people didn't get injured with all those minutes.
Yeah, he got really lucky that nobody got hurt.
Only 5 teams had 5 players play 2,000 minutes, and the Pacers were one of them. Like, that's risky. It worked, but it's risky.
Who were the 5 players?
5 teams, you mean? Or the 5 players on the team that played 2,000 minutes?
Yeah, who were the Pacers 5? So Thad Young.
Thad and Vic and
Bojan
and
Bonus.
I'd have to look it up. I remember doing
the Kojo research on it. I bet it's a Bonus and Kojo.
It was Sabonis and Kojo.
I know. I think it was because Darren missed too many games and sort of
Thad, Vic, Bojan, Kojo, and DC got 2,018 minutes.
DC barely made it.
Yep. But then they had 3 guys above 1,800 who weren't at 2,000. So their top eight guys all played a ton of minutes.
Well, yeah, they weren't, to be honest, they just weren't a very deep team.
Right.
I mean, right. They weren't.
Yeah, their ninth guy, their eighth guy played 1,800 minutes. Their ninth guy, Joe Young, played 550. Like, that's a huge drop.
Yeah, I mean, if they had made the second round of the playoffs, they would have probably shrunk the rotation to eight guys, basically. I mean, they wanted. Well,
we never talked about this really during the season. Like, they somehow played nine guys every game, but the ninth guy always rotated between, like, GR3 or TJ Leaf or Al or Joe, like, or even Trevor Booker. Like, they just found a way to have a ninth guy all the time.
Yeah, this year the ninth guy will be more consistent because he'll be GR3 because he'll be healthy and have a full summer under his belt, and hopefully he'll be a little bit better.
Yeah. All right, your turn. Sorry, pissed you off.
Oh, the thing that pissed me off the most. So I think we talked about that Bojan play for just a minute and just how stupid it was.
Just
how stupid that play was.
Yeah. I wanted to tweet the LeBron meme of him doing the arms thing and be like, when Bojan throws a lob in the air and Terry Rozier steals it.
I mean, I thought that like JR just pulled the stupidest play I've seen, but I thought Bojan's play was even dumber.
That whole possession was a disaster.
Because for JR's play, they still have to make the shot.
Yes, that's true.
They just play. All they have to do is.
Pacers were winning. They were winning the game.
All you gotta do is get fouled, make both free throws, make them hit a three to tie the game.
Yeah, they were winning by five with 30 seconds left in that game. That's crazy.
Yep.
Crazy.
That was the worst. No, the thing that pissed me off the most. I'm not sure. Remember, was it late February, early March when they dropped the games to the Atlanta Hawks and the Dallas Mavericks that effectively knocked them out of being able to get a top three seed.
And 50 wins. Like, come on, man. Getting swept by the Mavs is up there for me. Holy cow, that sucks.
Well, the first one you could knock it to, you didn't have Vic. But you had Vic for both. You lost to Atlanta.
They were up with like 3 minutes to go at home, though, even without Vic.
But, yeah, that's the most – because if they win both those games, they all of a sudden are the three seed right now.
I think Rick Carlisle hates the Pacers.
Well, yeah, they kind of dumped him for no reason.
They did.
The same way Frank Vogel should not like the Pacers either because the guy got rid of him for nothing. So if the Pacers win both those games, at least they have home court in the first round then.
50 wins, home court, yeah.
Because the Cavs won 50 games and they own the tiebreaker. And that is the difference in game seven. If they're playing at home in game seven, they might win that game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, they played all three home against the Cavs. They played really well.
Like every game matters or something.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how those little games – somebody tweeted that out. When they don't get 50 wins, it's going to be because of these two losses to Atlanta and Dallas. You're going to be kicking yourselves.
I forgot to say this at the beginning, but here's more every game matters stuff. Like they went, they go 5-1 against the two teams in the finals right now. They lost to the Mavs and Hawks back to back. Like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, the best in the East, they split with the Celtics, right? And then go 2-2.
Yes, they did.
They went 1-3 with the Raptors. They beat Philly 2-1. I mean, they basically, every team besides the Raptors in the East, they had beat head-to-head.
And Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's annoying.
I mean, right, they beat the Wizards. No, they lost the Wizards tiebreaker
Wizards tiebreaker 2-1,
Because Vic didn't play the third game.
Yep.
Those two
are bad.
What's going to be annoying with this whole season in general is that your background is going to be like, oh, it's the Cavs and Celtics were the best two teams, but the Pacers were probably the third best team in the East this year.
I got another pissed-off thing. Okay. I don't know if this counts or not.
Go ahead.
Not picking OG.
Oh, those picks. Those, when they pick these guys that just
– I was okay with both seconds, but the OG skip over was
– that's the guy you needed. If they have OG, he's playing in the rotation in the playoffs, and they win the series probably.
They have OG right now. All we're talking about is them signing a stretch for the whole summer. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's literally it. It's so frustrating.
Or not trying to move up to get Donovan Mitchell.
Yes, that kind of.
They had the ability. They're only five picks away. There's probably some move to get him.
I know, it's crazy. So frustrating.
But does that not bother you though that this team is probably the third best team in the East at the end of the day, maybe in the playoffs, and they'll be barely remembered.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, they'll get remembered. They did fine.
No, but like nobody remembered that they took the Cavs literally to the brink and should have beat the Cavs, and that Tristan Thompson was nothing until he beat them in Game 7. Like.
Right.
They should have knocked this Cavs team out. They had more chances than Boston to knock the Cavs team out, to be honest.
They did do well in that series. I mean, yeah, I don't know how they would have fared against other teams, you know. It was weird. The Cavs were so, like, bipolar in the playoffs. Still
off. Yeah, but the Pacers arguably should have won game 4, 5, and 7 of the Cavs series. Like go 0-3 in those three games was just very frustrating.
Oh, my gosh. We can talk about this. I have something to talk about. We have a topic. Did you see they released the 2018-19 NBA championship odds for next year? Wow.
What's the Pacers odds?
100-1.
Oh, well.
Let me tell you some teams ahead of the Pacers on the list. The Lakers are at 20-1. The Heat are at 20-1. The Trailblazers and Pelicans and Timberwolves are at 80-1. Here are some teams that share odds with the Pacers at 100-1. The Nuggets, the Knicks, the Clippers, and the Wizards.
They think there's going to be a regression.
Tough. Yes, they do.
I think this might have this year of Vic was the worst season we're going to see out of Vic for the next 3 years.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to say. I mean, free agency will change all this, but that's wild.
Vic is. I think people are underestimating how good he's going to be again next year, as long as he stays healthy.
Well, he did say healthy. He missed 7 games.
No, if he said healthy again, I mean.
Oh, right. Yes.
If he said healthy again, play 75 games again. I mean, he was the sixth best guard in the NBA this year.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. Probably. I mean,
he's probably the fifth. He's probably better than DeRozan this year. I mean, he was just so good.
He was better than DeRozan.
And if his jump shot is just a little more consistent all of a sudden, like he can get into like the 37, 38 three-point range. Oh, man, it's over.
Yes, he'd be a top four guard in the NBA.
Like, I think he might put up 30 a game this next year if they really let him.
I hope they do. That'd be fun. Be a huge watch.
Maybe Turner just develops a little bit. Or just one of Turner's a bonus. Somebody has to distinguish themselves from the pack, one of those two players. I don't care who at this point.
That'd be sweet.
If one of them just says, like, Olsen comes out. Like, Sabonis is going to get bigger, too. He's going to get stronger.
This is his first full offseason staying in the same state.
Yeah, and plus he's not like small, that's the right to put it, but he's definitely, you could see there's room for him to get a lot stronger.
Yes, there is, yeah.
And so if he could have like Miles got a lot bigger this last offseason, I thought, a lot in his chest and arms.
He definitely did.
Maybe they'll put, I mean, I don't know, maybe they'll put something together. I just think 101 is a little, I understand the Lakers at 20-1 because of the Frisian aspect, even Miami because of that, but like.
You get 20-1, I'm like, hey, they don't have any cap space. I don't know what they're going to do. Well,
yeah, Miami maybe not. But the fact that they're with the Nuggets didn't even make the goddamn playoffs.
100-1. Come on.
Yeah, the Knicks, but they don't even play till game 40, probably.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The Knicks have cap space? No, the Knicks don't have cap space.
No, they have Joakim Noah instead.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that one's wild. It's wild.
You know what, Tony? You just made me mad in this podcast. The freaking Vegas.
What pissed you off is that. That's what pissed you off.
That pisses me off the most. The disrespect of this team all season long. That's unbelievable.
Crazy. It is crazy.
You got anything else?
I don't.
Yeah, I think we tapped that about 25 minutes. Hopefully there'll be some news between now and next Monday when we do this podcast again.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, we're getting close to the draft season, though. We're only 18 days away.
Yeah, I think the rest of this week we decided we are going to do two more player reviews. I believe this time it's going to be – looking up real quick. I'm going to do –
GR3 and Kojo, right?
Yes, I'm going to do Kojo. Tony's going to do GR3. Kojo for Friday, GR3 for Wednesday, and then we'll be back again the following Monday.
GR3 is going to be hard.
Who's going to be hard?
GR3 is going to be a hard one.
Yeah, you have to talk about what he could be, sort of.
I do. I will.
I don't know. I don't know if you guys should let us know if you like these player reviews or not. Seems to be a lot of content on the Pacer blogs for player reviews, too, so it might be a little over, you know what I mean, overstimulation of or over content of player reviews, but it's what it is. It's what we keep doing because I think it's kind of the best talk we have for this time of year. If not, we'd be coming back to once a week, which is not what we want to do yet. So,
yeah, we are okay. So I'm actually on the clock for a fan-sided draft right now with the first round pick for the Pacers. This is exciting.
So you're gonna take Aaron Holiday?
I might. He's still available. Or no, he might have gotten picked. I don't know. You'll all know tomorrow.
Well, I'll know tomorrow. All right, that's all we got for this Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to this podcast. Leave us reviews, and you always tweet us with comments, concerns, whatever going on in the podcast. Anything you want, tweet us, and we'll respond as long as it's like somewhat respectful and not completely just in your face asshole-ish. This is Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, have a great rest of your day.